We'll commence here reading in 1 Kings, the 13th chapter. This is not new material, but maybe a thought brought in a little different way. This has to deal with a prophet of God and what can transpire even with them. They're just as human as we are. "Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priest the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent. The ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, they put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar was also rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and become as it was before. Now, we can see here, when the judgments of God take place, sometimes they're rather severe. And we should keep these thoughts within our hearts, that the decrees of God here are quite severe at times. He expects the people to obey him, but still, man can do as he wants, and we can see what happened to the king. He had his agency there. He could do as he wanted, and he done that which he shouldn't have, and he paid the price. But he asked here that it be changed. And the king said unto the man, Come home. Well, let me back up the sixth verse, I believe I skipped. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and become as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thy house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou comest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he come to Bethel. Now we can see here the instructions to the Lord to this prophet of what he was to do. I'm sure you've all read it, so you know what transpired. But we can see here that still, why the instructions are given, man still has his right to do as he wants. He may pay the penalty very dearly by breaking the commands of God, but still, you have the right to do as you want. Now, there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. And his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Then they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his son, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that cometh from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. Now he's very well aware of the commandment the Lord has given to him. But we're going to see that he is not going to obey the word of the Lord. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, now this is the other man, this is the prophet that went to Judah. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor return again to go by the way that thou comest. Now this is pretty clear instructions. I don't think anybody here should misunderstand what transpired here. He was given instructions, as it says, by the Lord. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art, and an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Now here we have another situation here entering in. The man has been instructed by the Lord very clearly and told what he shall do and what he shall not do. And we have here upon the scene another man. If you want to, he's given revelation to this individual that he has been instructed to bring this man home. And yet, this prophet has forgot some of the teachings, I'm sure, that was given to him as he was raised, that the Lord doesn't go back on his word. There is no change in him. But the man evidently had an idol in his heart and wasn't fully convinced of what the Lord had told him. Though he said to the king he wouldn't go in and eat with him. But we see here that he is going to do that which the Lord commanded him not to do. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drink water. Now, this is a typical situation that can happen here to anybody in here. We're not immune here to the words that the Lord would give to us. And if we do them, as we should, all will be well. But old Nick, that one with the little tail and the pitchfork, he isn't going to prance up and down in front of you with his red suit on and his little old forked tail out there and say, Hey, I'm going to tell you some funny things to do. No, he comes in a pleasing way, and he knows our weaknesses better than we do. And right here, he appeared, old Nick appeared here with a man and told him to tell this other fellow to come on back, and he lied to him. It came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandments which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but cometh back, and hast eaten bread, and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread, and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. So we can hear what happens. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled him an ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. We can see what happened to the folly of this man by not obeying the instructions of the Lord. It isn't always an easy thing, sometimes, to discern the spirit of the adversary. Sometimes we have little quirks in our makeup, little desires, and the adversary knows it. So he goes about entrapping us if we are not careful. This man wasn't careful, and he paid for it with his life because he disobeyed the word of the Lord. These are things that can happen to us is well when we will not obey the Lord. The commandments are given before us rather clear. I would read another example here in Samuel. If I can find it. In the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, the 10th verse, we have another typical situation that where we find somebody that disregard the commandments of the Lord. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and has not performed my commandments." And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal." Samuel came to Saul. Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord." And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" Saul said, see, this is a little bit like Eve when she took of the apple. She's trying to pass off this guilt. Saul is the same way. He's trying to pass it off. Why, what happened? He's rationalizing. They have brought them from the Amalekites, and the people spared the best of the sheep of the ox to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. The rest we have utterly destroyed. But that was contrary to what the Lord had commanded him. Then Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night." And he said unto him, "Say on." And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thy own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me." Now here we have somebody trying to pass off his guilt of breaking the commandments of God. It's a rather easy thing. Now everybody does it, I'm sure, from time to time. When we do something wrong, we try to rationalize why it might have been done. It's, I think, a typical human weakness. "And have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." Samuel says, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as is obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey," notice that, "to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Now, there's many instances here of where the instructions were given to individuals, different ones down through the time, of what they should do, and instructed therein to do it. But for some reason or another, they desired to do something else, and they did. We can see, we all know that Saul was rejected, and the kingdom went to David. But this is something that we can see happens to us even today. If we don't obey that which the Lord has given to us, then sometimes we begin to get a little bit hungry for things that we shouldn't. Innocently, we really sometimes don't realize just exactly what we're doing sometimes, or what the folly will pay for it. In Jeremiah, it's a verse here, 6:16, that everybody is acquainted with. I would quote it, just the one verse. "For thus saith the Lord," "Thus saith the Lord, stand you in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls." Now, the commandments that was given to these other people, they had the good way there with them. They had it, but they didn't follow through as they were commanded. And that is the way it can be with us. We have the good way. We have come into the kingdom of God. And we can hold fast to that which the Lord has given to us if we want to. But sometimes some little quirk in our makeup, and we sometimes begin to nibble on the little tidbits and other things that really is not of the Lord. They look good, they taste good, and they look good. But my, what a bitter aftertaste they do have. On page 38 in the Book of Mormon, verse 192, I will start with. That's page 38. "And the angel spake unto me, saying, these last records which thou hast seen among the Gentiles shall establish the truth of the first, which are the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them." Now, here we have the Word of God, just like the prophets of old. They had the records. They had the Word of God like we have it. It was just as important for them to keep the commandments the Lord had given to them as it is important for us today to keep the commandments that we have. But the Bible has come to us down through the centuries, and because there's been some that have had a desire to mutilate some things here or there, the Gentiles have stumbled because they haven't known the fullness of the gospel out of the Bible, because some things have been kept back one way or another. So we in our day, I say our day, it's history, but we have the Book of Mormon. In our day, these added records have come forth to us to make plain to us what was taken out of the Bible. We have it right here in this Book of Mormon. The words that have been deleted or added to or altered, however we want to look at it, those changed things which have been altered have been made plain to us here in this book. But sometimes we don't want to always adhere to these plain and precious things. We kind of, as it says in Jacob, we look beyond the mark. We desire those things sometimes which is not plain and easy to understand. "And shall make known to all kindreds, tongues, and people that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father and the Savior of the world, and that all men must come unto Him or they cannot be saved." Note that. We must come to Him. They must come according to the words which shall be established by the mouth of the Lamb. We have it in the Book of Mormon, those words. "And the words of the Lamb shall be made known in the records of thy seed, as well as in the records of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Wherefore they both shall be established in one. For there is one God and one shepherd over all the earth." Now, we have really no excuse for sometimes wandering in strange paths. why we may not immediately pay the penalty as they did of old, as that prophet of Judah, for disobeying the commandment of God, still they can be just as devastating to us in the long run as it was to them. These words have been brought forth us today that we may search the scriptures and know what the Lord has given to us. And if we look diligently and seek in it, we will know what the doctrine of Christ. Those records, which will sometime in the future come forth, of the lost records of the Nephites and the other tribes of the house of Israel, will not add any more to the doctrine of Christ than what we already have today. We have the fullness of the gospel here. There will be considerable more history of what their dealings was and transpired with them, as there will be more records of the Nephites and the things that transpired with them, some of the marvelous things that the Lord done for them, and how he protected the lost tribes and what he done for them, we will have. But as far as doctrine, it will not be any different than what we already have within the covers of the Book of Mormon. For it says here that this book will make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from the Bible. So if we look carefully within the covers, as we should, all would be well with us. But if we sometimes will put blinders upon our eyes, we sometimes don't see as we should. Let us go back here to the Old Testament and go back to Numbers. 21st chapter of Numbers. Can't read my own writing. I don't think there's that many verses there. Maybe I can find it here. Yeah. 7, verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray thee, the Lord, that he take away the serpents from among us." And Moses prayed for the people. Now, if we remember the story, there was quite a number of devastations that overtook the children of Israel after they come out of Egypt, because they wouldn't follow the commandments of the Lord that was given. And here they realize what has transpired. And so the Lord sent the fiery serpent among them to bite them. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." So we can see the Lord did provide a means for the people's escape if they was to only look upon that serpent. In other words, it might even took a little bit of faith there. I don't know. But it says the same thing right here in page 57. Verse 133. "Wherefore he did bring them out of the land of Egypt, and he did straighten them in the wilderness with his rod. They hardened their hearts, even as you have. And the Lord straightened them because of their iniquity." Many times he straightens us too because of our iniquity. And he brings those things about that will humble us, whatever they might be. "He set fiery flying serpents among them, and after they were bitten, he prepared a way that they might be healed. And the labor which they had to perform was to look. Because of the simpleness of the way, or the easiness of it, there were many who perished." Now, isn't that typical? It's an easy way the Lord prepared for the people there if they would but look. But sometimes, because of the carnal nature of man, they don't always look to that which they should. We have here, in a very easy way, in a simple manner, the words that Christ has given to us in the Book of Mormon. But many times, because of the simpleness, we, like the house of Israel, look beyond the mark and look for other things than that which we should. And by, we are given that which we should not have, because we look beyond the mark. On page 325 here, verse 35, neither does he vary from that which he has said, neither has he a shadow of turning from the right to the left, nor from that which is right to that which is wrong. Therefore his course is one eternal realm, and he does not dwell in other unholy temples. Neither can filthiness nor anything which is unclean be received under the kingdom of God. Now he says here that there is no shadow of turning with the Lord. Now if you all look down on the edge of the benches, you can see shadows there. There is a different degree of light here played upon the floor because the lights make shadows. But there isn't even that with the Lord. What he gives to one, he'll give to another. He gave to the Nephites the gospel. He gave to the people there at Jerusalem the fullness of the gospel. And we have just as much as they have. No more, no less. In fact, those at Jerusalem, we have more knowledge of the history of all the house of Israel. But as far as the doctrine is given, we have just as much as they have, and no more. Those that have been led out have everything that the Nephites and those at Jerusalem have. For if not so, the Lord would be a changeable God. And it says there is no changing or shadow of turning whatsoever with the Lord. What he will give to one people, he will give to the others. For he says there is one shepherd over the world. But many times we don't always want to follow that which seems to be easy to follow. And because of it, we have to be careful that we don't put our trust in any individual, whoever they be. If you don't know what the scriptures teach, then you should take some time and search the scriptures rather careful to see what they do teach. If you not knowing what they teach and you hear somebody talk, you may say, well, gee, that sounds just like what I want to hear. And it's wrong. Dead wrong. It can lead you into some hard ways along the road of life. But if you search the scriptures as you should, then somebody can't preach to you and preach you false precepts, false ideas. And it gets done, sometimes unintentionally, innocently, it gets done. But if you don't know what the scriptures are, how can you gauge the Word of God? If you don't know what it says, you must be able to understand and know what the commandments of God are. For by breaking those commandments, we put ourselves on the left hand of God. And it will not be well with our souls because we desire to follow pernicious ways in our life. As Bob said this morning, that we must be honest in our dealings. And that means honest in our dealings with the Lord as well as with one another. And if we can't be honest with our dealings with our Father in heaven, we'll really not be honest with our dealings with mankind around us, those that we rub elbows with in the church, those that we rub elbows with in our work, or wherever it is. This honesty must be pure. You can't be honest a little here and then a little bit dishonest over there. It doesn't work. It's just like the Lord said, you can't have sweet water and sour water out of the same spring. Either it will be good or it will be bad. So you must seek to do that which is just and honest with your Lord. And if you will do that, then many of these other things will just kind of fall in place. But we can see that the decrees of God are unalterable. That what he decrees to one nation, he decrees to another. We can see here what has happened. And we know what happened to the Jaredites. We know what happened to the Nephites. Let me read. Hold. Well, this is on verse 8, 466, Book of Mormon. But behold, I have somewhat to prophesy unto thee. But what I prophesy unto thee, you shall not make known. What I prophesy unto thee shall not be made known, even until the prophecy is fulfilled. Therefore, write the words which I shall say. And these are the words. Behold, I perceive that this very people, the Nephites, according to the spirit of revelation which is in me, in 400 years from the time that Christ shall manifest himself unto them, shall dwindle in unbelief. And when they dwindle in unbelief, because the decrees of God that he has placed upon this land, they would be swept off. The Jaredites really inhabited this land for a good many centuries. I think they was somewhere around 1800 years they roamed this land. The Nephites wasn't that long, but you take from approximately 600 BC to 400 AD, that's 1,000 years that the Nephites roamed this land. And when they become sufficiently hardened in their hearts and turned their backs upon the Lord, then they were swept off. Why, this nation isn't that old. We still have the Word of God. And when this nation, the people of this nation, whoever they be, whether it be those that's right here in this church or elsewhere that turns their back upon the Lord and become fully ripe in iniquity, then they will be swept off as well. It makes no difference. The Lord is not partial to any one person. If they will obey his commandments, he is pleased to bless them, whether they be Jew or Gentile or whoever they be. But if they do not follow the ways that he has given to them, then he will remove them, whether they be whatever tribe they might be. We're all of the family of Adam, but the promise was made to Abraham, and it has fallen down from him on his children, and those that of the house of Israel that will turn to the Lord will be blessed. But they will not be blessed any more than the Gentiles will, that will repent of their sins and come unto him as they should. Page 717. Behold, verse 35 on page 717. Behold, this is the choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity, from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who has been manifested by the things which we have written. Now we can see that what the Lord has said about the people that are going to live on this land has come to pass. We can see that where the Jaredites become wicked in their ways and would no longer obey what the Lord had given, they were swept off. We can see what has happened to the Nephites. Well, the great blessings, really, that they had, as well as the Jaredites, they were blessed in a big way. And yet, because of all the blessings, they still had their free agency, and they were just like that prophet of Judah that didn't obey. He meant destruction. And Samuel, the kingdom was rent away from him, and we know that finally he got to go into the soothsayers to seek admonition of what would be and so forth. And the Lord is an unchangeable God. We should understand that what he gives to one people, he'll give to another. And he will bless one people, he'll bless another people. He has blessed us with the gospel, and the fullness of it we have. And if we don't look beyond it, all will be well with us. But when we begin to look beyond what the Lord has given and start listening to the persuasion of our hearts, which is not always in harmony with the Lord, then we begin to look to other records, which is not given by the Lord. And then we run into troubles and snares along the way. But if we will but humble ourselves and keep the commandments as we should, all will be well.
Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock we have scripture study. Turn to number 240 for closing. 240. Shall we stand? Close to me.